We've been talking about fear since last June. And don't you know, talking about this, the Holy Ghost said something to me while I was having my devotions with my wife. And he said something to me out of guess what passage of Scripture? Mark 4. He said something so profound, I had to write it down. There's something about the enemy that causes the church, I believe, a problem. There's three things about the enemy. He's organized, disciplined, and he's very consistent. The church lacks some of those things. Being organized, how many of you have a junk drawer home? How many of you have more than one? The enemy is organized. And if we're not organized in our natural, that's fine. But we need to be organized in our spiritual life. We need to be disciplined in our spiritual life. Understand that now. It's so important because the enemy is, and that's what makes him sometimes appear to be so powerful when he's not. Amen? So go over to Mark 4 for a minute. There's a couple of scriptures here I want you to see. And I'm learning a lot from my grandchildren. I did from Anthony and Nico. Now my younger grandchildren are teaching me all the time. How many of you have grandchildren? How many of you know that you don't really know everything? They know more than you do. I couldn't get the mouse to work on my computer, and Alex flipped it over. Oh, there's no ball in the bottom. So you should know you have ones that are wireless.
They are?
So see, I'm like, you know, a couple of decades behind the rest of the world. But anyway, moving right along. So go to Mark 4. Jesus gives a parable of the sower to his disciples. And take a look real quick at number 12. I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. In order that they may indeed look and look, but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest haply they should turn again, and it, their willful rejection of the truth, powerful, their willful rejection of the truth. I have a little phrase, willful contrariness. We can be willful in our contrariness about the Word of God. The Word of God is a staple. It's bread. Jesus said, every word that proceeds out of our mouth, you and I have to have bread in the natural, am I right? In some form, pizza, whatever. Okay, I just thought I mentioned that in there. But we have to learn how to live not by natural means or natural food, but by spiritual food. The Word of God is called bread. Say bread. Rejection of the truth and should be forgiven them. Look at verse 13. And he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? So this one parable, which is about what? The Word of God being a seed, every single parable, everything in life, if I could go a step further, is based on the Word of God. How important is that foundation? It's of the utmost importance in our life. It'll help us in our life when it comes to our marriages, raising children, looking for jobs, how to handle our finances. I call the Bible the answer book. I think, David, you gave me that years ago. I think that phrase came out of your spirit. The answer book. That means every situation, every circumstance that comes my way, I can find the answer in the answer book. Say answer in the answer book. So why would I want to go anywhere else but where? To the Word of God for an answer. When I was in the military, we worked on aircraft engines, and there was a tech book, tech orders. Every time you had to do something on that plane, you went to the tech orders. You followed it right to the T. Nothing else would matter. Well, John showed me this. Now, this was it. We used to work on C-98s, I think it was back then. And those engines vibrated so much that the nuts and bolts just fell out of them. One time the pilot said, hey, look, we're flying over to Buffalo. You want to come? I said, no. But there was a pair of pliers that they had. I'll never forget it. Every nut and every bolt had a small hole drilled in, and you would put a wire through it. And this pair of pliers, as you pulled it back, would twist the wire so you could attach the wire to the nut and the bolt. So if it did come loose, it wouldn't fall off. You understand that? So that was a powerful tool. But I still wouldn't, because every time I opened up the cowling on the bottom of the engine, stuff would fall out. I don't think I want to be on this airplane. You understand that now? The Word of God, listen to me, has to be wired into our spirits, and as much that comes our way, the Bible says in the last days, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But the gates of hell will not prevail. And what does it mean when it says gates? Gates is where the government always took place. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember a certain man, Lot? Where was he found? He was found in the gates of the city. That means he had come to a place where he was involved in the government of the city. The gates of hell will not, cannot, and shall not, never will, doesn't have a chance, because the answer book tells me everything. I think I said this to him, he repeated again. We have this term, first responders, powerful, in every level. I mean, nurses, doctors, police officers, everywhere you can, first responders. In the natural, we can't live without them. Understand that now. But listen to me. The Holy Ghost is the first responder in the precious Word of God. The Holy Spirit knows everything. If he knows everything, I'm going to dial up a scripture verse that fits wherever I am during that circumstance or storm and speak it out of my mouth. Speak it out of my mouth. See, you can read it. Word means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every single day when we wake, the enemy wants to attack you, wants to attack me. But his only access is to our minds. Later when we get back to 2 Timothy and we find out sound mind, it literally means our minds have been renewed. They've been salvaged by the precious Word of God. See, encouragement comes from the Word. How about you? Every single time. Let's go a little bit further if you don't mind, because this revelation blessed me tremendously. And how is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? Ready now. The sower sows the word. So what's Jesus saying? A farmer sows a seed. How do we sow seeds today? We do it with our mouth in the realm of the Spirit. With our mouth, we say what the Word says. The Bible says, all things are possible. As soon as you understand it, then you can believe it. But how many times do we stand on the sidelines trying to understand what it is that God has said to us before we shift into the gear of believing it? See, that's man's natural thing. Amen? It's natural. But the Word of God says, all things are possible, just believe. Remember Mary, I don't understand how this is gonna happen. I haven't been with a man, and you're telling me I'm gonna give birth to a baby? Thank God she didn't laugh in her mouth like Sarah did. You understand that? Look at this verse now. The ones along the path, those who have heard the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, remember those three things I gave you. If you hear it, what happens? You're going to forget it. But if you see it, you'll remember it. If you do it, that's where the understanding comes. When you exercise faith, you kick fear out the door. See, that's understanding how it works. I can hear this right now. But Pastor, you don't understand my situation. Your situation is no different than my situations, and they all come under the auspices of Satan is a liar and the Word of God is truth.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you and I are looking for truth in this world we live in, where are we going to go to? Jesus. Jesus and the Word are synonymous. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Guess who the with was? It was with Jesus. Amen? Nothing's made. Everything's held together simply by the name of Jesus. The Bible says in James, demons tremble at the sound of that name. I love this one. I can't think of a scripture verse. How about a name? Because that name incorporates every scripture. Oh, I need one in finance. Jesus. I need one for health. Jesus. I need one for my marriage. Jesus. Well, let me stop and figure this out. No, don't try to figure it out, because in figuring it out, we bring our natural mind in, and the Bible says our natural mind is enmity and sin against God. You've got to leave your natural mind out and jump into the realm of the Spirit and do exactly what the Word is saying. Are you ready now? Here's what the Lord said to me in this next scripture verse as we go. They hear, and Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. Now bump over to the King James. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but they have heard. Satan comes immediately, there's the key word, and taken away the word that was sown in their hearts. That means it got a place to land, but hard ground. Now I'm going to try not to cry, seriously. When I saw that word immediately, the Holy Spirit said something to me. Like I said, I've learned a lot from my grandkids, but I've also learned a lot from doing these Zoom calls into Pakistan. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. As soon as I start talking about Jesus, miracles begin to take place. Now listen, I'm just trying to, without crying, getting it back to you. Satan has it immediately about him to take this word because there's an immediately about the word. Did you get that? There's an immediately about the word. He knows that, so he brings his immediately to take away the immediately of the word of God. It's been proved through these three services we've done to Pakistan because hundreds get saved, people are getting healed, their lives transformed. And that last one we did, my God, that little boy who had never spoke before, he was deaf and mute. All of a sudden, he begins to look at his mommy and his daddy. Mommy, daddy, glory to God. You see, the enemy wants to shut the mouth of the word when it comes to you and I. But I'm here to tell you right now, if we will put the word of God in its rightful place, give it the priority that's due it, you and I, as salt and light, will begin to see what I'm seeing through these Zoom calls happen in your everyday life as you're walking down the street, as you're mowing your lawn, as you're shoveling your snow, as you're going to work, as you're getting your car washed. I'm telling you, there's an immediate right there. What's holding us back? Well, what if it doesn't work? It always works. It's active, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You don't ever have to microwave the word of God. Did you ever hear the expression, stick a fork in it, that game is over? No, because in football there's something called the Hail Mary. And they throw the ball up in the air. Remember Doug Flutie, coach? Boston College years ago, the game was over. And he just threw the ball in the air, falling backwards, and somehow it got tipped, and he caught it. The other receiver caught it, and they won the game. Never should have won it. And then he gets his face in all the boxes of Wheaties for a long time. How many of you want your face in the box of Wheaties? Then remember, you're salt of the earth. You're light of, my God. God's word has an immediacy about it. As soon as you put it in your spirit and speak it out of your mouth by faith, miracles will begin to happen. Prayer lines are good. Intercessors are good. All fine and dandy. But God wants us to get, an answer before we have to pick up a phone or email somebody. Because there's an immediacy in our voice if we're believing the word of God by faith. That's how it works. That's how it works. There are blind eyes that have been made whole in heaven waiting to come down. I'm telling you, and the miracle's in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. I'm telling you, there's a miracle in your mouth. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise right now. Give him a praise. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, devil, listen. You keep your hands off of my immediacy. How many of you need a turnaround in your lives? If you're watching or sitting here, good. Put your hands up. Now stand up for a minute. That's it? I'm going to try that again. Now watch what happens. There are more people than that, don't be bashful. There's an immediacy that's going to come to you if, listen to the preacher, if you are, give me that word, hon. If you need a turnaround. How many of you know what a turnaround is? A place where you turn around. Last call. If you need a turnaround in your life, stand right now. This is it. You're watching. I can't see if you're standing up or not. Stand up. Now, here's what I want you to do. The immediacy of God's word is not only for you to give it out, but it's also for you. So here's what I want you to do. Just go like this and speak to the circumstances that are causing you not to get your turnaround and tell them that you have no right being here. You have no right staying. You have no right coming into my life or my family. I don't care what it is. If it's financial, speak to it. If it's your health, speak to it. If it's fear, speak to it. Whatever it is right now, open your mouth, begin to speak in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Go ahead. If you're sitting in your chair, you're watching by television, go ahead, start saying something and making some noise. Let there be a roar like a lion, amen? Come on. See, the word of God is waiting to explode and give birth out of our mouth. This is the delivery place. Our mouth needs to deliver the immediacy of the word of God. Come on, talk to yourself. If you got a prayer language, start using it right now in Jesus' name. Say hallelujah. Well, I don't get this stuff. Don't get it. Just receive it by faith. I believe it by faith. All things are possible. I'm believing, you're believing, our audience is believing, and supernatural miracles are taking place right now in Jesus' name. We kick doubt out. We kick unbelief out in Jesus' name. Peter was fine as long as he didn't look around him at the waves and the storm and everything else. Immediately, as soon as he looked at the circumstances, he began to sink. Stop looking at your circumstances. Start talking to your circumstances. Start talking to them out of your mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and it's not just from a brother preacher. It's from you and I saying what the word of God says. Come on now. Now lift your hands and begin to thank him, because the answer has already been delivered to you. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Some of you, as this day progresses, even those that are watching, listen, you're going to see what we're talking about get worse. That's okay. Because the worse is taking his friends with him, and the whole batch is getting out. Remember when Jesus was with that crazy nut in the caves? And we are legion, we are many. What did Jesus do? Did he call for angels on the cross? He doesn't have to call for angels in anything he did. All he did was tell them to go. Because there was authority in everything he said. Remember when he rose from the dead, some guy ran by with some kind of a white sheet, naked through the mountains. Just the fact that he rose from the dead, dead people got up out of their graves. The Bible says when he said it was finished, the graveyards emptied. It doesn't have to be just a graveyard where there's actually a coffin. People's lives are graveyards. People's lives are empty and hollow. This came, I don't know when, but it's coming back into my spirit again. God has instructed people to talk to certain people about Jesus. And you haven't done it yet because you're afraid of the response. The immediacy of God's word is going before you. Remember Nehemiah? What did he have in one hand? A trowel. What else did he have? A sword. So we go through our day and we work and we do everything we're going to do. But then suddenly when we need something on the spiritual side, you pull out the word of God because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it says it's two-sided, it means one side comes out of our mouth. The other is the word. Out of our mouth is rhema. God's got people lined up and waiting for you and I to bring the immediately of the word to them and refresh them. Who am I talking to when I just said what I said? One, two, who else? Three. Let me try that again. How many of you does that refer to where God has instructed you to talk to somebody about Jesus and you haven't done it? I'm waiting. So here's the response. What are we waiting for? What's keeping us from doing that? Fear sometimes. What if I'm rejected? Listen, Jesus hung on a cross, rejected of men. When we talk about fear, listen, Jesus had to face fear. When he was before Pilate, listen to the words, Jesus, don't you realize I can have you crucified, I can kill you, or I can set you free? How about a place to fear? This guy could take me out. What did Jesus say? Listen, he said, you can't do anything. Oh my God, this has got the Holy Ghost all over it. Go like this. You can't do anything to me unless Daddy says it's okay. That goes for you. That goes for me. There's nothing. Do you realize we can't lose here on earth and through all eternity because Jesus Christ came, saved us, bought us with his precious blood? The Bible says men feared to the place of death. Some people will sit in front of their computer screen looking at their investments all day long, and they go and rise with their investments up and down. This comes into my spirit. Profit and loss. That means if you have a company or investments, sometimes you'll see profit and you'll see losses. See, that's the system of the world. But the kingdom of God doesn't have any losses, just profit. If you invest in the immediacy of God's word, you'll get nothing but increase. Jesus never said, if you put some seed into the ground. No, he made the seed. He has no defect. There's no recall on the word of God. When it goes in the ground, if the soil's good, it'll produce a perpetual harvest. Anybody know what a perpetual harvest is? One that never stops. Why do we want to invest in the words of men when we can invest in God himself? This precious book has been stamped out, kicked, punched, burned, and everything else. But I'm still holding a copy here in my hand. I have a copy here in my heart. Nothing, nothing will stop this from coming out of your mouth and my mouth. There's an immediacy. Well, we're short of money. I think I'll get a part-time job somewhere. That's good. But my first question to me and to you is, do you sow? Do you give tithes and offering? Well, no. Well, see, there's your money. But I can't afford to. See, see, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if one apple seed will not just produce an apple or an apple tree, but one seed will produce orchards after orchards after orchards after orchards. But see, man's way is, I'll just get a part. No, do it God's way. Give him the best. If you give him the best, everything's gonna open up on you. My God, listen to me. This happened years ago, but it happened again to somebody I know. They got a job making a certain amount of money and had a get a car, they had to get a train, had to get dressed and all this, and they ate early in the morning and late at night. So a simple question is, add up how much it cost you in clothes, in fuel, in tolls, and all of that, and find out if you're not even making enough money on your job to cover your basic expenses. People work so many hours doing other things to bring monies in, but at the same time, the money's being chewed up just going to the job. God's got a better idea. If I took that time and I went over my finances, I'm helping somebody out, over my finances and realized that I wasn't giving enough or I wasn't giving it all, there's the source of the problem. When I realized the principles of God's word when it came to stewardship, the immediacy of the word of God in that area just exploded. The first time I heard about stewardship, tithes and offerings, I walked out of the church. This guy doesn't know how much I'm not making. It was scary. But then the Holy Ghost said, if you got a dollar, put 10 cents in the offering. I started little by little by little by little. And by now I give far above anything that I bring in. Listen, why? Because when you get a hold of the principles of God's word, the immediacy of that word will ignite every other area in your life. When I met this wonderful young lady at 5 years old and me at 8 years old, and I walked up to her mother who lived with us for quite a few years, her and her dad, and I said, could I marry your daughter? I knew that I knew, which has led to, I know that I know that I know that I know. When I tell people we're married 52 years, right? 53, I don't know. They look at us and said, how'd you do that? I said, it's very simple. I made a covenant with God, and that covenant carries over into marriage. See, I found out there's such an immediacy about every word in the precious book called the Holy Bible that it's just waiting to explode in your life, in my life. I'm telling you, this church is about souls. You want to know what we're about? It's not about having a church service, a Bible study, having youth and everything else we do. It's about souls. Nothing we have here on earth can we take through into heaven, but we can sure take souls with us. Your giving, as soon as I mentioned that $6.50 for a Bible, I'm telling you, I didn't like giving the $6.50 for an amount. I fought that. You know why? Because I believe if you're going to give an offering, just give it. It'll take care of itself. And then the Holy Ghost convicted me. You know what he said? Remember when you put the tiles down in your office, nobody wanted to pay for them until you broke it down to 12 cents a tile? Then you had all kinds of tiles left over. Sometimes my kids need to have a smaller amount so they can give a bigger amount. And Paulie will tell you, we got, an email or something from somebody in different state? South Carolina, who heard $6.50 and they're going to send an offering. I said, Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because the immediacy of that need was met, but I was holding some of it back. I had to step aside. The immediacy of God's word is like a volcano ready to erupt in our spirit and man. But please, let it erupt. Let the word of God become so alive that it'll change not only you, but your marriage, your spouse, your children. It'll change your neighborhood. It'll change where you work. It'll affect, listen, it'll affect the state of New York. The Bible tells us we're to pray for those in authority over us. It doesn't refer just to the church, but those in governmental places. All of us are challenged by that at every level of government. But if we do what the Word of God says, the Word of God will erupt in these places, and all of a sudden, this thing will turn around. I'm telling you, it's already happening. It'll change because you and I have the eruptive power, Kratos power. That means the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, resurrection power, is in us. We can speak and have the my God. We can have the manifestation of the word of God get behind closed doors, into rooms, into offices, into meetings, and have people's minds and the words that come out of their mouth change. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on. See, when our eyes are on, now what happened? All of a sudden, they began to do what? Praise God. See, praising God lets us express our thanksgiving to him for all he's done. But worship, totally separate. Worship is reserved for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, praise and worship come together, but in our language of praise, we're thanking him for all he's done. But then worship says, God, God, we single him out and make him above anything and everything else in our life. Glory to God. Say, I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing the eruptive power of God on the inside of me coming alive. The Bible says that we have springs of living water on the inside of us. You know what happened to the enemy of Israel? They turned on themselves. The Lord affected their minds to the point where the enemy began to fight amongst themselves and killed each other. You know who's in control? They turned on each other and killed each other. And all Israel had to do was what? Come, and took them days to pick up the spoils. Some of you better take some vacation days because the spoils are getting ready to be left for the church. So can I read our famous scripture verse here? Somebody gave me what I'm going to read you. We're all done. And put it in a plaque form. It's sitting on my shelf in my office. I looked at them and said, you got it. Not that they put it in a plaque, but they got it so much in their spirit. And they said, this has changed their life. So I'm going to end with this. Say, this is going to change my life again. Here we go. Here's the immediacy of the word of God. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear. What does that say? It doesn't come from God. Fear, say this with me, fear is a choice. How many of you know any and every situation in our life, fear is a choice. If we choose faith, fear's got to run. If we choose the word, fear's got to take off. Listen, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. He has given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security so that it no longer is affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. I'm going to read it one more time. Because our minds will fight what the word says. How many of you have a hard time sometimes? You got to figure everything out first. Anybody here? Stop it. Yeah, my husband's washing the dishes. He's never done that before. Don't try to figure it out. Just dance around the house. Hallelujah! God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love. He has given you a mind. Say, my mind has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety, security, so that it no longer is affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. There's enough out there that can cause that. And after the Super Bowl, I wanted to see how many people watched it, just for my own benefit. And the number of people watching has dropped because people have too many other choices, that one there is not a priority on that Sunday like it used to be. And as soon as I saw that, there are too many other choices. There are too many other choices that could stop us from this being the priority in our life. Jesus said when he first started his earthly ministry, seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't have profit and loss. It just keeps going up and going up and going up. I'm at a season in my life, and so is my wife, where we're enjoying it like we never thought we ever would. How old are you now, Pastor? Come on, age is a number, and you know it's unlisted. What do I care? Marilyn Hickey said this when she turned 80 years old. God gave her the most difficult challenges she's ever faced, and she said, this is wonderful. I'm telling you, God has put a new fervency in our heart for souls, a new fervency to see this church grow and multiply and bring the good news of Christ to a lost and dying Capital District. There are a lot of good churches in the Capital District, but God's called this one to be a soul-winning church, a place where miracles take place. I'd like to put some hooks in the wall and put some things up there that show people have gotten healed, have been saved and transformed by the power of God. Amen? When these chairs leave this auditorium, the anointing that's in that material from all the revivals and everything we've had over 30 years is going to another place. Now, I'm not saying this to brag about me, please, but I would not let one of these chairs go without making sure they are all fixed. I've been in here for weeks with my grandkids pushing a table around. No, give me the long screw. Give me the short screw. And see those first three rows? The last three rows are you're sitting in, So please don't move too quickly. But I would not let one of these chairs go to another ministry without those things being right. I'm not saying that for me. I want you to catch that same spirit. We're landing right here. When I was kids, we used to send clothes to Italy because we were Italian. And many times people would bring clothes that were ripped and torn, things they didn't want. Now, I was a little guy, but I was always in trouble. I say, hey, Dad, how come we're not sending them clothes that are new? I don't believe in giving somebody junk. Where's Miss Dawn? Are you here? Wave your hand. No? She's in the back. I said, Miss Dawn, come into the auditorium. There's some chairs here that are ripped on the covers. You think it could help? She's already got the glue gun. She's already lined up. She's going to be gluing the places that are ripped because she wants to be a part of that. When you buy a chair, you have no idea who's sitting in that chair, but you may be buying a chair where a miracle will take place, and we can start on the next 700 chairs 30 years from now and give them again to another ministry, because there's power, eruptive power, Kratos power in the Word of God. Thank God for these chairs. Thank God for the miracles that have happened. And thank God for you and your faithful giving all of your lives as part of Harvest Church. Thank you, 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 thank you. Hallelujah. Say glory. Some of you, do you know how to clap? Come on, stand up and give them a praise offering. Audience, we are so glad to have you with us. If you'd like to ask Christ into your life, simply say this prayer with me. Open the door of salvation. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. This is a day of turnaround. This is a day of change in my life. I'm asking you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. Come in and make me a brand new person in Jesus' name. Thank you. If you've done that, find yourself a good church, a place where they're preaching the Word of God. Get the pastor's vision and help them fulfill it the way we do it here at Harvest. God bless you. We love you and appreciate you. Amen.